Killer Crawl Space. This is episode 52. It has been a very long time, almost a month. I apologize for that. But this episode goes back to West Virginia. It's kind of true crime. It's kind of like a missing person case, kind of. You'll understand when I get to the ending. But Robert Kovac was born October 30th, 1973, in Rivesville, West Virginia. It was a small town of less than, they said, about 1,000 people. And from my understanding, everything I have read, you know, he was a nice kid, he would get bullied, but he'd still never back down. And he'd graduate Fairmont High School in 1991. He would get an undergraduate degree at Fairmont State University. He'd end up accepting an architecture program at Virginia Tech. And this would be a new page in his life until he vanished on September 18th, 1998. See, the last known reports of Robert were he withdrew some money from an ATM in Blacksburg, Virginia at 5:21 p.m., and on September 18th, 1998, the Cameron ATM confirms this transaction, and sadly, like I said, this was the last time he was seen with physical proof. An hour before this, he was seen getting gas, and he was wearing blue jeans and a polo shirt. He talked with the worker there briefly. It was just small talk about how, you know, he's heading home to see some friends and family. And he'd pay for the gas with a check and take off in the direction of his apartments. See, a female student would report seeing Robert in the Cowgill Hall around 5:45. She said she arrived at the building and got on the elevator, and when it stopped on the second floor is when Robert would get on the elevator. And she said he asked how she was doing, but nothing else, so, you know, just another small talk. She would get off the elevator on the third floor, so, you know, not... Well, second to third floor. But she would tell police he looked very tired and that he had shaved his beard. And I'm assuming he, like, usually always kept, like, a goatee. And at the time, she thought she would see him later at a party, but would later learn he would not be there. And the belief is if her time was all correct, then she might be the last person to interact with him. But he was 24 years old at the time of his disappearance. He was, like I said, a white male that stood around 6'3" and weighed about 175 to 185 pounds. He had dark brown hair, brown eyes, and he was wearing blue jeans, either a polo shirt or t-shirt with a watch on his left wrist. His mother would call him on Friday, but he wasn't home. And she would call Saturday, but nothing. She would call on Sunday several times and still nothing. She became worried because he would always call on Sunday night. And she would call again on Monday morning, and a roommate of his would tell her that he had left Friday evening to head home for the weekend, and he had left about 5 p.m. and thought he was possibly planning to attend a WVU football game on that Saturday. And they stated he had been packing clothes earlier in the day when they left the apartment. When they returned, the laundry hamper was gone. They assumed he had left. And he would never make it to his parents' house, though, and he would never call them either to say he was heading there. Excuse me. I'm kind of battling a cold right now. But from my understanding, he always called to his parents' house when to expect him. Because if he would have showed up late in the evening unnoticed, it would have bothered his father because they said his father was a war veteran. So, you know, the question is, where did he go then? The next day later, which was Tuesday, his 1992 Geo Tracker would be found abandoned. This would be on the 22nd, so technically 4 days after he was last seen. The vehicle was found at the intersection of Lansing Road and U.S. Route 19 near Fayetteville, West Virginia. It was just beyond the New River Gorge Bridge. This is where it gets a little weird because he was known to keep the vehicle spotless and would not let it collect dirt, period. But this was his first vehicle he had bought himself. It seemed he cherished, you know, this Geo Tracker very much. And when it was found, though, the police said it looked as though it had not been cleaned in some time. And there was also no keys in the vehicle. The driver's door was locked, but the passenger's door was not. Some prints were found. One seemed to be a small portion of a finger, and they also found a palm print. And they were not able to identify them. They swept the vehicle of fibers and hair. They did find a small, white-tipped black hairs from a Dalmatian dog, but a friend of Robert's would tell the police that his dog and him had went with Robert earlier in the year together. Excuse me. The more I talk, it seems like my throat starts tickling. Excuse me. But one thing they could not locate was a laundry hamper that Robert's roommate said he must have taken with him since it was not in the apartment. They did find a slit in the soft-top canvas of the vehicle near the passenger side door. An amplifier that had set in the rear part of the vehicle was missing as well. And the police felt it may have been stolen by people who had come to the New River to raft. And this could explain why the passenger door was unlocked as well. And could explain why the hamper was never found. Because, you know, it could have been stolen too. Speaking of the hamper, though, a local resident called a trooper involved in the case to tell him she had found an empty blue hamper. And it was missing its lid, but she found it while on her property while she was walking, and they would check it out and would describe the hamper to Robert's mom, but she felt it wasn't the right one. And odd thing about the tracker, when it was discovered, it was out of gas and engaged in four-wheel drive, and it was September, and there was no need for the vehicle to be in four-wheel drive while on the highway. And there were two theories that surfaced. Did Robert or somebody drive it in four-wheel drive so it ran out of gas much quicker? The other theory was maybe Robert went off-road for a while, but this theory was shot down because the outside wasn't dirty enough, and they felt the dust was just blown on there from sitting on the side of the U.S. Route 19. And going back to the gas situation, the nearest gas station was only half a mile away from where the vehicle was found, and Robert had driven this route numerous times, and if he needed gas, he knew he'd have to get it then because the next gas station isn't until 15 miles away, roughly. And a little research I've done on the Geo Tracker, they average 24 miles in the city and 26 miles on the highway, and the gas tank ranges in size from 11.1 to 14.5. And he was seen filling up around 4:30 on Friday. We believe he is working with pretty much a full tank of gas, because if he traveled all the way from Blacksburg, Virginia to Riseville, West Virginia, the quickest route is 3 hours and 58 minutes. So might as well say 4 hours. It's 237 miles total at 24 miles per gallon, and if his tank is 14.5, then that's 348 miles he could travel before running out of gas. It's 377 miles at 26 miles per gallon. And at 11.1, you know, gas tank size, then we're looking at 266 miles or 288 before getting gas. It seems either way he should have been able to get there at least on full tank. And the thing to remember is his vehicle was found near Fayetteville, West Virginia, roughly the spot where his vehicle was found, though. It was only an hour and 51 minutes away, so that's about 106 miles away. And he'd have plenty of gas for sure when he arrived in that area. But I don't see him driving his vehicle from Blacksburg to U.S. Route 19 in four-wheel drive either. So, you know, Robert wasn't stupid. He knew how to drive and how four-wheel drive worked. Why was he out of gas then? Like, one thought maybe if the amplifier hamper was stolen, could somebody have stolen gas from the tank? Very possible. The area would be searched, and they'd go door-to-door in the area. Helicopters would fly over the rivers, river banks, all the access roads were all searched. Nothing would turn up. His roommates would be interviewed by police, and I found that odd because it was reported they had packed up all of his boxes and took apart his bed before it was ever looked at, even though they was told not to by the family. And it did appear, though, it was like he never left town, though, because his backpack was in the room, it had unopened mail, his bike was in the apartment, his shaving kit, toothbrush, toothpaste were all found in the apartment. Even though a lot of his personal stuff was boxed up, his wallet, credit cards were not found. It seems the credit cards he had totaled in $12,000 debt. So the roommates would still insist that he was heading home and possibly attending the game on Saturday because a friend of his had offered him a ticket to the game. He never did confirm it if he would attend or not, but he said he would try to make it. So the weird thing though about this is that the same friend has taken the same route Rob would have taken. This friend would have taken the same route that Rob would have taken, but his friend done it 12 hours later. So he done it 12 hours later after, well, Robert left. But he would tell police they did not remember seeing a vehicle parked in the spot the tracker would be found. And I'm sure his friend would have stopped if he had, you know, seen the tracker left there unless he assumed it wasn't Robert's tracker. But I'm still sure he would have seen it whether, you know, he would have stopped or not. It was reported, too, that he didn't remember seeing it there Sunday either on his way back home. And a lady from Morgantown would call police to tell them that her and her husband had been traveling to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and they had stopped at the gorge New River Gorge Bridge between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m. on Saturday morning, and she even said she did not see the tracker there. So where did Robert go all weekend? A private investigator would be hired by the family, but no evidence would surface during this time, and nothing new would be learned. And they would talk with a psychic, though, and the psychic would reveal some weird things. First would be the psychic predicted that Robert was murdered because of money. Second, the psychic described a suspect. The suspect would have a tattoo on his upper right arm that read love. He had an earring on his right eyebrow. According to the psychic, Robert did not know the suspect well, but the suspect had called him to request a ride, and supposedly this would be a trick to get him alone. And the psychic would claim Robert would be found in a pool of water with numerous streams running into it, and it was next to something burnt. And the psychic felt the burnt item would be a wallet. Odd? Yeah, I thought so too. Okay, questions would arise that maybe he just wanted a new life, walked away from his old one. You know, that's going to be top priority right there, you know, of a theory. Family members and people close to Robert said it didn't fit the bill because Robert seemed to have everything going for him, which it seems like he did, just the whole debt thing. But there ended up being a few possible sightings in West Virginia, but none of them were legit at the end. There was some other stuff that came out, for example, when somebody would find bones in the woods, but they'd turn out, you know, be an animal or something. But there were a few times when people would think they'd seen Robert, but turns out it was mistaken for another person. This would go back to the possible sightings. The main questions in this case from everything I just talked about are, Robert seems to have been planning to go home since he packed his dirty clothes. Why didn't he call his family and let them know he was coming? Why would he engage four-wheel drive? He got gas at 4:30 p.m. Why was he already out of gas? Why didn't he stop at the gas station right down the road? If somebody was trying to harm him, it seems he never backed down if somebody tried to, so it seems he would have fought back. Excuse me. And the thing is, no signs of foul play or a struggle near his vehicle. So what else could have happened to him? We fast forward to March 2016, more than 17 years since Robert went missing, and there were skeletal remains found. A work crew had traveled underneath the New River Gorge Bridge to do some repairs, and the crew had been clear-cutting when the area with heavy equipment when they stumbled upon the remains. Next to the bones was his driver's license, college ID, credit cards, and car keys. Excuse me again. They would send the remains off for DNA tests, and it would be Robert. Did he jump from the bridge? Excuse me again. It may not be that clear because his bones would show a large impact killed him. The police are wondering if maybe he got hit by a car, causing him to fall from the bridge. I kind of wonder, could the large impact be from him going off the bridge and hitting the ground? Or, I don't know, that's another thing. It kind of, I'm not sure what they mean. But if they're thinking that a car maybe hit him, so maybe, I don't know. But another main issue would come up on why wasn't his body found, you know, in that area, because it was searched right after his vehicle was found. And they said the area was steep, overgrown, dangerous, and to have looked. Some people questioned if the dog should have found him. I read park services and police were responsible for the area where the remains were found. Excuse me. Even with them searching it, it'd still have been hard because, from my understanding, like I said, it was at the base of a small cliff and no direct access from below and very difficult to reach from above. And no matter the reason, though, at least his remains were finally found. But the question of him possibly being hit by a car before falling opens up that question for debate. Could the marks to his bones be from a previous incident or accident? When would he have been hit if he was hit by a car? At night, foggy morning, during the day? And the reports of his vehicle not being seen there Saturday or Sunday, could he have got there Sunday night into Monday morning? Or possibly even Monday into Tuesday morning, since his car wasn't found until Tuesday? You know, where did he go during the time before he ended up parking near the bridge and getting out of his vehicle? None of these questions may never be answered, but at least Robert, like I said, was able to get a proper burial, and his family got some closure.